Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Good Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Wednesday, May 22nd, 2019. Today, we're reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 27, reading the last paragraph, the fifth paragraph that begins with, "Upon hearing this." Today's readers are Robin P. for the 12 Steps, Jennifer H. for the 12 Traditions, Freya H., Anita L., and Pia S. Our newcomer greeter today is Janice T.M., and announcements will be Reggio, so please stay tuned for those. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, that would be Tuesday, May 21st, is 12937. That's 12,937. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, May 22nd, would be 12939. That's 12,939. DOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You, Good Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Robin P. to please read the 12 steps. Star 1 to unmute, please, Robin.
Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. Here are the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food and our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. 4, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we are wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. God bless everybody in your recovery. Bypass.
Thank you very much, Robin T. And I'll now ask Jennifer H. to please read the 12 traditions.
Hi, this is Jennifer H., recovered compulsive overeater in North Alabama, and these are the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service.
And thank you very much, Jennifer H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing one topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 27, the fifth paragraph. And I will ask Freya H. to please begin reading.
Good morning. This is Freya H., compulsive eater and bulimic, recovered for today in Colorado. Upon hearing this, our friend was somewhat relieved, for he reflected that, after all, he was a good church member. This hope, however, was destroyed by the doctors telling him that while his religious convictions were very good, in his case they did not spell the necessary vital spiritual experience. And we just saw in the previous paragraph, we just saw a definition of that spiritual experience: huge emotional displacements, rearrangements, attitudes which were once the guiding forces suddenly cast to one side. A completely new set of conceptions and motives begin to dominate them. In my experience, that's not what I got from my religious experience. And so the doctor is describing, you know, the fact that you need a spiritual awakening, and it's gotta come from somewhere else, in this case, not from religion. And in my experience, I grew up with a really positive church experience, and it was a big part of my life. I feel like I had so many fantastic resources, but I wasn't able to apply them to my life in the way that I was taught when I worked these steps. I feel like that was the really essential difference, was that my religious experience gave me lots of great ideas, but it didn't teach me how to apply them. And I think even more importantly, I wasn't absolutely convinced that I must apply these. You know, it was kind of like, well, I'll take the easier, softer way. These are some nice ideas. I think of what Bill says as, you know, I adopted, this is from Bill's story, you know, I adopted what was convenient and I disregarded the rest. I think, you know, when push came to shove, I was going to take the easier, softer way. And so, you know, picking up these steps, I was instructed that you're not going to like this, you know, but this is the way to recovery. And so I was finally willing, you know, out of desperation, I was willing to do what was suggested here. And that's when I had that vital spiritual experience, which for me, I feel like it was the best way I can describe it is really subtle, really simple, but incredibly profound. You know, nothing in my life on the outside had changed, but suddenly I was seeing it through new eyes. And that, you know, the simple belief that God, you know, God's got this. I don't have to run the show anymore. And then actually applying that belief, living by that, acting as if that were true, made all the difference. So, you know, incredibly subtle, but incredibly profound has been my experience. And I'm very happy to say that that once I learned to apply this, what I learned in the steps, I was then able to take the suggestions that say, you know, make use of, you know, see where, be quick to see where religious people are right and make use of what they offer, and to go back to, you know, the religion that I was raised in, and really see the benefit and the value in it. So so I'm just so grateful to be, you know, to be encouraged to have this this foundation of this 12-step way of life, and then I get to grow spiritually using whatever other resources I choose, and those resources are incredibly abundant. So thank you so much for the opportunity to share, and I will pass.
Thank you very much, Freya H. Who'd like to comment on this paragraph today?
Hi, my name is Freedom. I'd like to share.
Okay, Roz Freedom. G.
Roz G.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O.
P-I-S. Lance L.
I heard Pia S. and Lance L. And one more?
Susan H.
Susan H. Okay, let's start with this today. All right, let's start with this today. I have Freedom. I'm going to need the first initial of your last name. Roz G, Kathleen O, Pia S, Lance L, Susan C, I believe it was, and Bruce E. So, Freedom, please go ahead and let us know the first initial of your last name.
Hi, thank you very much. My first initial is H.
Thank you.
Thank you for all those who do service. Thank you for this meeting. I can completely relate with the necessary, vital spiritual experience, and that's what's needed because I lived with many people, and I feel like I lived many different lives. Each person was a different experience throughout my life. And I lived with a bunch of people that would basically get an idea of what they thought was right in their minds, and then they would try to tell me what they thought was right. And if I didn't agree with that, then they would condemn me and be, you know, they'd pretty much shame and condemn me. And so I gave up on trying to find any kind of religious because I was constantly being condemned. But it wasn't until I found the 12-step program that this awakening happened and the truth happened. And I can see now that it's a guidance. You got to learn to go to your higher power on your own and ask for his direction. And nobody should be interfering or meddling with your relationship with your higher power. It's a very sacred thing. But yeah, it was definitely like it says right here, that the churches will tell you things, but they don't really show you how to apply it. And I'm very thankful for this 12-step program. I'm thankful for the overeaters because I can so relate with the food as being my, I turn to as a higher power and other people because I wasn't measuring up to everybody else's expectations, idea of what their religious ideas were. So they would condemn me and then I would just eat. I was eating to find love and I didn't have unconditional love. Love was conditioned, and love was on, well, if you do what I think is right, then that means I love you, and if you don't, then, you know, you're just not going to measure up. So anyhow, thank you so much, and I will mute with that.
Thanks for your share, Freedom H. Roz G., you're up next, followed by Kathleen O.
Good morning. I'm Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Palmdale, California. Ooh, talk about a good church member. I belong to an independent, fundamental, Baptist, Bible-believing, don't dance, don't chew, don't hang out with those, do church. And wore my skirt, knocked on doors, went to church 3 or 4 times a week, had my school kids in the Christian school, you name it, and I did it. And I had no clue as to what was wrong with me. I was dead. I was living a false self and just wanted to look good, you know. I do believe that I had a relationship with Christ, But it was suffocated by the traditional rituals and all of the works that I was doing. And most of the church activities that I participated in were, you know, had food around them. And when I took care of the kids in the nursery, I ate all the goldfish, or most of the goldfish, right along with the kids. And I, you know, had a lot of Bible lessons. But as the previous share said, I didn't know how to apply them to my life. And the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous has taught me how to live in action, how to live in humility, how to have that vital spiritual experience. And examples that I have are that, you know, today I'm able to take constructive, I don't like to use the word criticism, but I will for lack of a better term today, constructive criticism with humility and grace. And to not get so insulted in a millisecond about something that maybe somebody has to say that they see that I don't see. And I was afraid that if I had an own definition of my higher power, that I was letting the devil into my life, and that I was, you know, my life was going to be condemned. But opening up my mind to an understanding and a personal relationship with my higher power has been revolutionized. And I have a great relationship with the church that I go to now. It's a different one with the people there. And my service is through humility versus wanting to look good. And anything else I need to say? Just that I am experiencing that psychic change. It's growing more and more every day. And I don't think Satan has taken over my life whatsoever. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Roz G. Kathleen O., you're up next, followed by P.S.
Hey, Elaine. Good morning. This is Kathleen O., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. Good morning, everyone. This necessary vital spiritual experience. You know, Roland Hazard is told there's an exception to this incurable diagnosis that he was given by Carl Jung, and it's this necessary virtual spiritual experience. And the doctor's telling him that while his religious convictions were very good, they did not spell this necessary spiritual experience. And for me, that was good news because I didn't have any religious convictions. So it's like, well, that's good. You know, so what do I need? And it's a change. It's a rearrangement of how we think, feel, and act. And I heard this kind of cute thing once where this was referred to as the Wizard of Oz, where the Scarecrow had no brains, the Tin Man had no heart, the Cowardly Lion had no courage, and they were just like three potential alcoholics, or in our case, compulsive overeaters. And Dorothy was told the answer was inside her all along, and it's that great reality deep inside every man, woman, and child. So, you know, this necessary virtual spiritual experience, it's the psychic change, and it usually happens slowly over time. I know it did for me. I was abstinent many years before I really started to truly experience a change in my ideas, my emotions, my attitudes, where I was able to actually stop thinking that I could ever control my food, that was never going to change. And especially that I, you know, my change in thinking if I couldn't control other people, I couldn't control situations, and really being able to go to my higher power for direction and not going, you know, not being in my ego. And the difference that it makes in my life is really quite phenomenal. I mean, I never would have thought that I could really be happy in life, even when things don't go my way. And it's kind of an anomaly, but it really works. And so, you know, if you're new, stay on these lines, work these steps. It takes a while. It's not something that happens overnight. There's no magic wand anyone can wave. But this is a program that truly works. And this chapter that we're in, there is a solution. There couldn't be truer words. There is a solution, and it's the first one I ever found in decades of trying lots of other ways. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kathleen O. P.S., you're up next, followed by Lance L.
Good morning, Elaine. This is Pia S., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. And what this paragraph reminds me of is that I was taught to pray, and I was also sent to Sunday school, but I was not a good church member. But I believed in a higher power. I believed that there was something bigger than myself. But this religious framework didn't really work for me to get that vital spiritual experience. So what I found was that I needed to humble myself. I needed to surrender. I needed to surrender my food to someone, and I needed to surrender all that I know about what I needed, you know, how often I needed to speak to a sponsor, how to work the steps, and but I needed to find someone who was recovered. I need to find someone that had solved the eating problem. And today, to have a vital spiritual experience, I need to surrender my whole life, my marriage, my relationships with my parents, with my friends. I have to surrender my relationship with my child, which is the hardest, because I can't live, I don't know how to live my life without that higher power. All of me needs to be surrendered to God. And when I do that, when I give up and I surrender and I say, God, you run my life now, all kinds of promises start to happen. And I can honestly say that I'm experiencing miracles every day. They don't look like what I think they should look like, but they do happen. And that is after, like, I mean, the food is quiet, the food is down, I'm abstinent, and then all of these amazing things start to happen. So, and it's just because I have worked the steps. It's just crazy how these steps work. It's like, it's magic. I don't know, like, that's how I feel about it. It's just like, apply the steps to your life, and incredible things start to happen. And, yeah, that's all I had, Elaine. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Pia. So true. Lance L., you're up next, and you'll be followed by, I believe it's Susan C., but maybe Susan G., and you can let me know when it's your turn. Please go ahead, Lance.
Thank you. My name is Lance L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from California. And when I first heard about this spiritual experience as a solution to my spiritual malady, I thought, awesome, this is easy. This is all I need to do to get away from my addictive foods, I'll do that. I was raised as a Ukrainian Orthodox. I was very religious, and I was very ritualistic when it came down to that religion. And I followed my grandmother's advice, and I did everything that people in the church were doing. I was missing something. There was something that I wasn't getting that they were getting, and I could see it in their eyes. I could see the spiritual experience that people in church get, but I couldn't get that. Something was blocking me. And if you need amplification on this spiritual experience or spiritual awakening, there's a full explanation in the fourth edition on page 567 in the appendix 2. And I encourage anybody to go and read that. It helps out tremendously. There was a man named Sam Shoemaker who was a mentor, if you will, to Bill Wilson and the Oxford Group. And part of what Sam Shoemaker talked about is that the spiritual experience, there's something that's blocking. And in my case, it was me. It was me. I was getting in my own way. And Sam Shoemaker set down four different ideas as what keeps us from God. And this is your concept of God. This is not my concept of God. This is not anybody else. This is your concept of God. And the first something is a resentment you still have. You know, I could go to church and I could be resenting the man who's preaching to me. I could be resenting the other people. They look better than me. You know, whatever the case may be. Second thing is a secret you won't tell. You know, I kept isolated from all my feelings. All my foods made me feel better because I did not share with people. I did not trust people. A vicarious thrill. Well, eating was definitely a vicarious thrill, as much as I could get any time I could get it. And the fourth thing is an amends you will not make. There's no way I would apologize to people. I would not. And if you think about it, all these things here we tackle in the 12 steps. And in the 12 steps, we have a spiritual awakening or a spiritual experience as a result of these steps. In my life, it has come true. One of the speakers before me just talked about the promises that come true. They come true. And just to end it off, in that appendix too, it said, what often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much, Lancel. Susan C. or G., please let us know. And after Susan will be Bruce E. And after Bruce E., we're going to be taking another line of the people who would like to comment on our reading today, which is on page 27, the fifth paragraph, beginning with, upon hearing this, we're commenting just on that one paragraph. So, Susan, what is the initial of your last name?
Susan H., compulsive overeater in Colorado. Hopefully,
oh, my God, C and G didn't even cover it. Thank you so much, Susan. Please go ahead.
Thank you, everybody, for joining this morning. And this paragraph is interesting. It says, while his religious convictions were very good, in his case, they did not spell the necessary vital spiritual experience. And what this tells me is that we're always teachable. And I know when I think about a spiritual experience, and, you know, I struggled with, I didn't have a massive spiritual experience, but I do believe that my views change and I grow each day in this program. And one of the things, you know, what this teaches me is that every day I wake up and I say, I'm teachable today, and I'm open today for something new. And that's what all of everyone else on the line teaches me when I join the calls, when I listen to the special edition, when I make my outreach calls, when I talk to my sponsor. I take all my preconvictions and I say, they may be good, like he said, and I don't throw away what I have, but I just become open to what else is there. What else have I not understood? What else have I not realized? And in my quiet time with my higher power, I just say, I'm open, and I love, there's a meditation that the Dalai Lama does every day where he says, I'm wrong. And I always think of that, like, what have I not realized? What do I not know? So with that, I learned from all of you, and I learned from my higher power and my sponsor and those I reach out on the outreach calls, and every person I interact with in the day that makes me resentful or fearful, I just look at it as, you know, what do I not know yet? There's something new. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day.
Thank you very much, Susan H. Bruce E., you are up next, and then we'll take another lineup on that first paragraph on page 27. Please go ahead, Bruce.
Well, I'm an addict. I'm down in Florida. Name's Bruce. And I'm in recovery and recovered now. Let's see, how can I possibly craft this speech in a way that will impress everybody, and then everybody's impressed with me, and then I can feel good about myself? Well, that's my ego coming up telling me all that. Raised in the church until about age 11 or 12, left the church like Dr. Bob did, and never wanted to go back. Finally, at age 38, had a spiritual experience in a church, and after 20 years or so being gone, or longer being gone from that, I got back in that. And if somebody had told me about this upon hearing our friend was somewhat relieved, he reflected, after all, he was a good, yeah, I would have said that same thing, you know, because when I came in the program, I was a good church member. This hope, however, was destroyed with doctors telling him, that's very good, but it doesn't do it, man. It doesn't spell the necessary vital spiritual experience. I didn't have anybody tell me that, but I was convinced of it on my own, that church membership and all that ministry I was doing and all that stuff I was doing in church did not spell the necessary vital spiritual experience. I finally learned that, because what would happen is I'd go forward for prayer, somebody would pray for me, and next thing I know, I'm going out that afternoon and I'm overeating, you know, and I'm going, what is the deal on this? This thing is not working. And I didn't know, you know, do I be disappointed with God? Do I, you know, what do I do about this, you know? And finally, what I finally found out was that I lacked the power. I didn't have the power. I still have the same higher power, but I didn't have his power. And it had to come in at the point that I sat down with somebody, with a recovered sponsor, that read the big book with me. And the power started coming in. And I noticed that right away, because as soon as that started happening here in Vision, about a year ago at this time, I started feeling a connection that I hadn't been feeling before. And I couldn't describe it. I didn't know what it was, but this connection was coming in. And then what was coming in was the obsession and compulsion started to lift. So I knew that some kind of power comes in during the process of, during the process of reading this big book with another recovered person. That's when the power came in. That's how I appropriated the power. And then the obsession and compulsion were listening. Oh, thank you very much, and appreciate everybody doing service on this call. And that spelled the vital spiritual experience, was reading that book with a sponsor in this program, and that's where it comes. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Christy. So, who would like to comment on that fifth paragraph on page 27 today?
CFO Des M.
I heard Beatrice O and Des M and a jumble of
Patty
other
P.
names.
Oh. Julianne G.
Patty, Julianne.
And Alicia P.
Is that Alicia?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I got lots of first names, and I didn't do too well on last names, so we'll pick them up as we go along. I have Beatrice O, Des, Patty, Julianne, and Alicia. So, Beatrice, please go first, and then Des.
Hello, this is Beatrice from Northern California, recovered food addict. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay, great. So, I also had a spiritual experience, and it came in phases, I would say. So I grew up in a religious background. In fact, you know, I was Pentecostal, and I remember my grandmother saying, you know, Jesus is coming, you need to repent. And I decided, you know, I'm going to party for a while, I'll get to that later. You know, so with sex, drugs, eating, and, you know, disco dancing, because that was the era that I grew up in. And it was really hard to believe in any God, because I grew up with a lot of hypocrites, you know, and I grew up in a house of horror with all the types of abuses you can think of. I was living it. So when I came in this program and they said, you know, you need to turn your life and will over to the care of God, because he's going to help you with this food thing, I didn't want to believe it. So it took a long time for me to come to believe that God was going to do anything for me, because, you know, where in the hell has he been lately is what I used to say. He hasn't done shit for me. And I was angry. It took me about 3 years to come to believe that a power greater than myself can remove this obsession. And I had to do a lot of work, a lot of therapy, a lot of self-love, you know, because I wanted a burning bush. And I hated anybody that came into program and were struck abstinent. All of a sudden, they were abstinent and they were losing weight. And I said, you know, oh, they're probably not really a food addict like I am. But what I want to say is I had to work the steps and then go back to, and I went back to the church that I grew up in, and not a Pentecostal church, but a different church, but I could listen to the word with an open mind. And I realized that God had been there for me in the horror, in that house of horror that I grew up in. And he has, I, you know, there by the grace of God go I. And I'm healed from all that
shame
and pain. And I just like to close with, I had to turn my life and my will and everything in it on this planet to God. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Beatrice O. Des, may we please have the first initial of your last name, and also Patty will be up next.
Hi, this is Des M., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach. Good morning, and thank you for your service, Elaine, and everyone else that's on the line. Yeah, I love this paragraph, and what's coming up for me is that, yeah, religion didn't spell the necessary vital spiritual experience for me either. You know, the only thing that could take away myself and get me outside of myself to something greater than me was working the steps, you know, not thinking about working the steps or staying in the fear of how it was going to work. Or, you know, my mind also likes to analyze how it's going to work, but really doing the work was what worked for me. And I love in the spiritual experience when it talks about my reaction to life. And that's what happened to me this last time, that I really like vigorously worked the steps and put down my alcoholic foods entirely. And I got to just really like my reaction to life has change sufficiently. And for that, I'm so grateful. You know, for me, religion, you know, I dabbled in different religions. And for me, it really had this false sense of being right. And that comes up a lot when I do my inventories and my reaction and relationships is that I have this desire still, my ego wants to be right. So religion, what it gave me in my personal experience was, these are the rules, you live by them, and then you can tell other people they're wrong if they don't. And so that's kind of how I adapted that. And, you know, I get to humbly see that played out in other areas of my life today. And that's like such the miracle of this program, is that I don't get to use that to be, say, why me, what a victim I am. I can't change my thinking. I get to go to people I trust and love that are working this program, that have had this spiritual experience, that can remind me, you know, lovingly, oh yeah, that defect is coming up. Oh yeah, you have a desire to want things your way. Oh yeah, that's selfish. And, you know, these tools are just like indispensable. Everything that I've learned here, and just so grateful for everyone's shares. And I would not trade, you know, anything for just being able to sit here right now and try to love myself and love others. You know, love and tolerance is my code today. Keeping it simple is my code today. And, you know, I've done 4 steps on religion as well. And from, you know, the steps, I can also have an open heart to those that don't believe the same as me, and I can keep doing work to do that. And so thank you so much for having this meeting, and with that, I pass. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you very much, Des, and you too. And Patty, you're up next, followed by Julianne. And may we please have the first initial of your last name, Patty?
Sure. Hi, everybody. This is Patty Tate, recovered today from Southern California. And thank you so much, everybody. And thank you, Lynn, for your service. You know, I just want to say I'm probably going to be redundant here, but this good church member thing and this vital spiritual experience. First of all, I was a really good church member when I went to church, and I was a really good Buddhist when I practiced Buddhism, and I was a really good OA member, abstinent OA member when I was, and I was really good at continuing to be of service in OA when I wasn't abstinent, and I still wasn't connected to God. And the reason for that, as I've discovered time and time and time again in this program, is because of my ego. The same thing that helped me survive my childhood and led me to food as a solution in those fight or flight moments is the same thing that blocked me from God, that edging God out, that I can do it. It's up to me. You know, and the fact of the matter is that in order to live a vital spiritual experience, I have to be willing to open my heart and my mind to others and to pathways that I can't conceive of, which are only brought to me by my higher power. I just went through some medical tests yesterday, and, you know, in my past, I'm recovered for 1 year, and in my past, I would have hidden during this time. I would have been like a sick dog who'd gone under a house to heal in the dark alone, right, until I was sure I couldn't be attacked again. But this recovery and this program and this God that I have a connection with today allowed me to reach out to fellows and friends and to be honest, and to even express fear on the way to finding courage, if that makes any sense. And that is what is a vital spiritual experience for me today, being one among many and living vitally among all of you. Thank you so much for this meeting. Thank you all for being here, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Patty T. Julianne, you're up next, followed by Alicia. And will you please let us know the first initial of your last name?
G.
Thank you.
Hi. Thanks for your service, and this is a good meeting. I've listened to it several times in the past, maybe 3 months.
Oh.
And, but I felt compelled to comment today. And I was thinking about I did have a spiritual experience, I think a few months before I got abstinent, and I needed that, I think, to eventually get abstinent. I hope I'm not echoing, because I feel like I might be echoing.
You sound just fine.
Okay, cool. Thanks. So my family's in AA, and I went to this, there's a Mass for Sister Ignatia, I think it was that one, who helped Dr. Bob and Bill, and possibly, she worked at the hospital, and she helped save a lot of alcoholics, and possibly AA might not have gotten off the ground if she didn't do all this work and help people recover. So there was this Mass for her, because I live near Akron, so they kind of do things differently in Ohio because of the birthplace of AA. Anyway, and I just was like in the church, and I realized that I had a resentment, and I had been just closed-minded against anything with religion or spirituality. And that was just huge for me, because I had so much anger and I didn't even really know why I had so much anger against religion. And I definitely had conditions against me loving a God or God loving me. And I had some mixed messages, and I also had a lot of positive things, you know, but I thought it had to be one way. So I was closed-minded. And, but that day I started opening up, like I can pick and choose what works for me. And maybe, and there are tools here that I haven't acknowledged that, might work for me. Some tools and, with different people's experiences that I know, that are religious or not, or spiritual. And the other thing I started to be open in mind to is, that people in OA said that they had freedom around food, and it didn't call them in between meals. Like they had freedom and peace. And I wanted that. And that's one of the big reasons too that I want an abstinence. Like I started having hope because my life was unmanageable. And so I had a higher power, but I was able to pick and choose different things. So I did like different kinds of thank you. So I did different kinds of meditation practices, and I'm just grateful. I finally got an open mind, and it's gotten better over the years, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Julia and G. And Alicia, you're up next. You'll be our last share for today. And if we could please have the first initial of your last name. Alicia?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
I hear you now. Thank you.
Okay, sorry. I'm still trying to figure out the way the phone works. So,
the first initial of your last name, please?
Yes, that's going to be P as in Paul.
Thank you very much, Alicia. Please go ahead.
Oh, my goodness. There is a reason why God had me on this meeting this morning. Literally, words cannot describe the magnitude of the groundbreaking realization this was for me. I just realized the main reason why I was a compulsive overeater was because of my resentment towards God and my resentment towards religion. And it was so weird because it was that very thing that I thought was supposed to deliver me from my compulsive eating. I just remember I kind of related with a few others. So my mom, she's kind of has like a Pentecostal type background, and they believe in like spiritual warfare and praying prayers and people being delivered. And you know, I had been prayed that I was delivered and this and that, just like my mom was delivered from cigarettes, and I couldn't put the food down, and I just developed a snowball of guilt and resentment and pretty much self-condemnation. I pretty much condemned myself to hell already, but I didn't know what else to do because I was in such a state of depression that I had to keep pushing through. I had to keep going to church, and I would feel guilty if I didn't go, you know. And so it was just so amazing. Literally like a few days ago, I was trying to figure out why am I still not abstinent, and it was because my foundations were shaky. I told my sister, I was like, I've gone up, going to church. I've you know, done the VBS. I've done the, serving with the kids. I've done praise dancing. I've quote unquote repented of my sin multiple times. And it's so crazy because in the Christian world, gluttony is one of the sins that's not really talked about much. They talk about fornication. They talk about lots of other sins, but gluttony was kind of always pushed under the table. So I could literally be at church during a Thanksgiving potluck and literally perform my act of sin in front of everybody in the church, and nobody would say anything. And so I was just really just in my disease. And it wasn't until I actually walked it through with my sponsor, I was like, okay, well, what's going on? Why do I, you know, feel this way? Why do I feel guilt? Because there'd be times where I'd want to read the big book over the Bible, and oh my gosh, like I just had this huge overwhelming feeling of guilt. And so finally she broke it down to me. She was like, you do know that you're not a sinner. You're sick. This is a disease, number one. I said, okay. And then number two, well, God loves you, so he gave you a solution. You know, you are healed and you are delivered because he gave you the solution to deliver you on a daily basis. And I said, oh my gosh, you're so right. So when I adopted it as that and I had that mental shift,
And I'm like, okay, I am actually a sick person. I'm not a sinner. I'll have a solution now. The same thing happened to me where I forgot who shared it, but I was able to go back and look at scriptures and read the Bible with a whole new level of richness. Oh, my goodness. Like, now the Bible is just, now the Bible lights up to me. And so for that, I am eternally grateful for this program. Thank you.
Thank you all very, very much. Fabulous meeting. We'll now transition by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Anita L. please read A Vision for You?
Good morning. This is Anita L. from Philadelphia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you